Hello, Martin. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. This is very cool talking to you. Iran, wow, that's amazing that you're there and I'm here. Technology is pretty cool,
yeah,
right?
Yes, it is. So can you tell me the difference between magic and technology?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess the guy we're going to talk about here, Richie Blackmore, he believes in magic, so.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, we will explain that, but would you please tell me what project or book you're working on at the moment?
Well, I just proofed a coffee table book that I'm doing on Ozzy Osbourne, which is like a timeline with quotes book, like a day-by-day, like my Iron Maiden coffee table book that just came out. And I'm halfway through a Whitesnake book. I'm going to do a book on a Canadian band called Max Webster.
Yes.
And I just finished up about a 400-page book, and I've got it with my layout guy on Megadeth. So lots going on. And also through another big American publisher, I've got a coffee table book that's like an oral history of hair metal. So going from 1980 roughly to 1991 when Nirvana comes out, the whole hair metal era. So yeah, working on a lot of things, plus working with Banger Films. We did the, you know, the Rush movie, Metal Evolution. They did the Iron Maiden movie. We got a new series called Rock Icons.
Yeah.
Just half-hour episodes on just one person at a time. So I'm in there as a consultant as well. 1 week on, 2 weeks off, 1 week on. So I just fit that in between everything else.
Yeah, wow, you're a busy man.
Yeah, it's quite a bit on the go this year. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. As you know, we at Metal Shock Finland, we recognize a week's tribute to Richie Blackmore. The idea came from, why shouldn't we celebrate the artists who are still with us and who we love, not just the dead artists? So what do you think about this idea?
It's great. I mean, it's just very cool to put together little package sort of documentaries and tributes to some of these people. I mean, I suppose that the great thing is he will probably hear that you've done this and he'll really appreciate it. So it's good that you guys are educating people out there on these icons.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you wrote books about Deep Purple and Rainbow, so I believe you are very well qualified to answer my questions about Richie Blackmore as a musician. Well, firstly, would you tell me your thoughts about him and his career in general? Then we can discuss it in more details.
Well, that's a big question. Stop me if I'm rambling on, but I mean, I think the important thing about Richie, or you know, one of the big things that he contributed to us is he essentially is in there at the very beginning inventing heavy metal. I mean, I often, people talk about the first Black Sabbath album in February 1970, the second Black Sabbath album later in 1970. But I think, you know, if Black Sabbath wasn't there earlier by a few months, I would say that Deep Purple in rock is the most pronounced, most modern, most revolutionary of those three records in 1970. Richie Blackmore was there inventing heavy metal.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, don't you think rock and metal music would be different today if Richie hadn't picked up a guitar? For example, I can see some roots of old school thrash and power metal in Richie's music.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, I think Deep Purple's big contribution is the bringing of a classical ethic and element to heavy metal, and that's a combination of Richie and John Lord. Those were the two guys doing that. I mean, we might have gotten some of that you know, Middle Eastern or Turkish or Moroccan, or I'm not even sure the best way to describe it, but those sort of.
Okay. Yeah, you're back.
So yeah, so Richie is in there creating, as you say, the legacy very rightly. You know, all of power metal, which is a massive heavy metal genre, owes a lot to bands like Deep Purple, Rainbow, Judas Priest. More than anything, I would say those three bands, and Richie is in two of those bands. you know, it even got even more sort of power metal-y when he started Rainbow, especially with Rainbow Rising and Long Live Rock and Roll. And, you know, and at that point, you have Ronnie James Dio helping him out, and they both agree philosophically about things like subject matter and, you know, fantasy and Dungeons and Dragons and castles and all of that stuff, sword and sorcery. So you're right, heavy metal would be a very different beast. It might have gone more of that blues or rootsy or even doom route of this this interesting classical route if it wasn't for Richie.
Okay, may I ask you, what is your favorite work by Richie and why?
Yeah, and, you know, I really like things like Gates of Babylon, Lady of the Light.
Yes.
Knocks on Your Back Door, Perfect Strangers, Speed King, just to bounce around a little through time. You know, Light in the Black, of course, Stargazer. You know, there's two big eight-minute epics there that are just classic. You know, I think I believe it's knocking on Your Back Door, though, that has a really, really cool Richie Blackmore solo that I like. And he, again, that's another area where he does a variety of things, but he has a very interesting solo style where it just
sounds exactly
wrenching sounds out of the guitar sometimes. Of course, another great one, speaking of solos and just in general songs, is Highway Star.
Yeah, you know, a few minutes ago I was talking with Wolf Hoffman from Accept. He mentioned Gates of Babylon as his favorite, and Smoke on the Water. He told me about that fantastic riff. He said we couldn't be here if you know without Smoke on the Water. You know, and what he did, you know, bringing the classical elements and Oriental, you know, scales into the rock music like Gates of Babylon.
Yes, you know, it's interesting. You know, Gates of Babylon is probably the one that we think the most of having that sort of Middle Eastern vibe to it. Mm-hmm. I believe there's violin in that song, I think. And then Smoke on the Water, again, yeah, that's great to bring up because that is the quintessential heavy metal riff. I mean, it is probably the number one most famous riff in all of heavy metal.
So what do you think about the, you know, the new wave of guitarists who, you know, followed his style, you know, the bands who came in 80s. For example, you know, Wolf Hoffman, you know, and also I had a chat with Michael Wakas from Helloween. He said something like that too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you say the 80s, you know, I don't think Wolf Hoffman or Accept is particularly Rainbow or Deep Purple-like. I would say Helloween is a little closer, even though it's faster and maybe even a little thrashier. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I, you know, guitarists that play like Richie, I don't think too many play like Richie. I mean, you know, a whole bunch of guys can copy that style or pick up things from it and be faster and more efficient and even add to it. But you know, it's always more more interesting or impressive when you when you invent a style all of your own, and I think that's something that you
What about Yngwie Malmsteen then?
Well, that's a different case. That's a more that's an interesting one because Yngwie is almost the guy who picked up where Richie left off and just went crazy. I mean, Richie took Rainbow. You know, Rainbow is almost like the, you know, the uber Deep Purple on steroids kind of band. But when you get into Jolyn Turner, he's moving into more of an American sound, a more sparser sound, more keyboards. So he went one way, and Yngwie is almost like, well, if Richie kept getting heavier and faster and more crazy and bombastic and more heavy metal and more classical, more everything, you know, he's almost like the guy that did pick up from there. But the other interesting thing about Yngwie is, you know, in doing that, in his almost obsessive behavior with doing, you know, quite a bit of the same thing in the sense over and over, he batted us all over the head and came up with a style that is even more distinct than I mean, Yngwie, you know, it's Yngwie even more than Richie because Richie can be a man of many styles. I mean, Richie now is more of an acoustic player more than anything. So Richie's got a bunch of things going on. He's got the brute heavy metal, the classical heavy metal, the interesting solo style, but even that you can't really pin down to a Ritchie. He's got the American sound, and now he's got the medieval, acoustic thing that he's done for something like
this. Yeah, I see. Okay, as a journalist for many years, can you tell me of any experiences you may have had with Ritchie?
Yeah, he's one of the few guys, not one of the few guys, there's many, but he's one of the guys that I've never met in person. I usually meet these guys in person. So Ritchie, I've never actually met in person, but I've had some phone interviews with him.
And, yeah.
It's great talking to him.
Lucky you.
Yeah, but, interestingly enough, they have never, I've been in Toronto for 25 years. They came here once during that time, but I think it was even before or just as I was getting into this business. But I, for some reason, I didn't try to meet him. They came through as, Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow and did the Stranger in Us All tour and played a venue that fits about 2,000 people, more of a large club. But that's that was the last time they've ever been here. He's never attended with Blackmore's Night. So I've had phone interviews with him, and they're always very interesting because they were Blackmore's Night related. So Candace was always on the phone, and I equally interviewed her and Ritchie. But of course, being such a huge Deep Purple and Rainbow fan, I would try to squeeze in as many questions as I can.
Yeah, I see.
Rainbow and. He tolerates it for a bit. What happened was I'd ask a question. He was answering. He was doing fine and answering. And he's joking around and funny. Mm-hmm. And then I asked another one, and he goes, "I forgot." Mm-hmm. And he stops, and it's like, "Oh man, I've ticked him off, right?" So it was basically the sort of mischievous symbol from him to like move on. I don't want to talk about Rainbow anymore. Mm. So it was kind of funny, but And I haven't talked to him for a fair bit of time now, but his mother-in-law Carol is their manager, and she quite rightly wants to keep everybody on topic. And Ritchie is excited about this direction. I mean, he's proven he loves this direction because he's been doing it for so many years that I don't think he wants to be asked over and over and over again about Deep Purple and Rainbow. But
yeah,
it won't keep me from trying because I'm dying to know all these answers, right?
So, okay, and honestly, how did you see his connection with the media, especially magazines and journalists?
Yeah, if you're asking, like, what the relationship was or how he treated media, I mean, I guess he's not known as somebody who's super friendly to media, but, I mean, he did a lot of interviews over the years. I guess there's an English expression, he doesn't suffer fools gladly. So what that means is that if you don't really know what you're talking about, and if you don't keep him engaged, and if you don't prove yourself to be interesting in talking to him, he might get ticked off and say, "All right, this is over." I don't know. I think basically recently, more so though, recently when I say that, it's like the last 20 years basically. There is this problem that I mentioned before that he wants to talk about Blackmore's Night, but everybody else probably really more so wants to talk about Rainbow and Deep Purple. And I don't know. I mean, it's interesting what he's doing, but over and over again, kind of the same kinds of things. It almost feels like you run out of stuff to talk about on Blackmore's Night anyways. There's something about it that just feels like there's not enough. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the fact that this isn't a huge band, bounding around the world and flying on jets and being crazy and a bunch of, five guys with long hair that are all pirates on the road. There's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about with Rainbow and Deep Purple that maybe isn't there with Blackmore's Night. I don't know.
Yeah, I see. Okay, final question. Would you like to leave a message for people listening?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, let me ask you. I'm a little confused. I mean, what kind of tribute are you going to do? Are you talking to a bunch of people and asking them about Rainbow and playing Ritchie and playing their music?
Yeah. But yes, we will interview. We had some interview, and we will interview more guitarists, musicians, writers, photographers, designers even. And also we invited the bands if they like to cover any rainbow songs and make a video, send it to us and we will publish it. We also have some plans to make some special articles about his career, some kind of, you know, biography things and some little stuff which people normally ignore them, but we will make them, you know, we will make some highlight of them. And, yeah, something like that. But the important thing is, you know, it was my idea. I want, you know, to show and to show him and hopefully later for more musicians that, you know, we really love you. We want, we appreciate what you have done up to now. And it's good, you know, to send that message when they are still alive, when they are still with us. You know, this comes to my head because few months ago before Ronnie James Dio passed, you know, he had a plan to come with Heaven and Hell to Turkey, and Turkey is close to Iran, so we had a plan to go and see him. I wrote an email to Wendy Dio she answered me, and oh, I said, oh, yeah, so I had some hope to this time seeing Ronnie James Dio, who is, you know, what biggest in heavy metal music for me. So yeah. Kind of father to me. So, but unfortunately couldn't make it, and you know the story. So I don't want this happen again.
Yeah.
I want to send a message to all musicians that I love and we love, that we love you. We appreciate what have you done. And yeah, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Martin, for accepting my request, and there are lots of things that I love to hear from, to learn from you.
Yes, well, thank you for having me on. This has been very cool, and I love what you guys are doing. I mean, keep teaching people about these icons while they're still here, and it's just an education of where all the heavy metal that we love came from. It's a good service you guys are doing.